Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Grace Nurture. This is your host, Danielle. Thank you all so much for joining us on this Friday morning. Grace Nurture is a ministry of the Grace View Church of Christ located in Stone Mountain, Georgia, where Brother Willie Bradshaw is minister. On today, our words of encouragement will be presented by our phenomenal brother, Bryant Tansel. His message is entitled, A Hungry Crowd. I strongly advise you to stop whatever it is you are doing, find yourself a quiet corner, and prepare to listen to the words God has placed upon his heart to share with us all on today. Immediately following the message, he will close us out with a word of prayer. Brother Tansel, you are on the air.
Good morning and happy Friday out there. Thank you so much, Danielle. Happy Friday to you and your family. Happy Friday to everyone on the call and your family today. I hope you're doing great. Hope you've had breakfast this morning or you're on your way to having breakfast because today we're speaking about a hungry crowd. And I'll get right into it. The story talks about a gentleman. He says, a few weeks ago, I realized I could no longer button my dress shirt collars. Many of my pants were way too tight or I couldn't button them either. So my wife and I decided together it was time to go on a diet. There are many very good weight loss programs, but we settled on the one that has worked for us in the past. We count calories and weigh portions. We limit the fat that goes into our food. The good news is I've lost 10 pounds. The bad news is I never get full. I have to check the portions and calories before I eat anything. And he says, the result of all this is I'm always hungry. I wake up hungry, eat a few calories. I drink a lot of fluids, mostly water, to keep my stomach full of something. Then I have a light lunch and finally an evening meal that stays under 600 calories. It's working, but I have to live with being hungry most of the time. Are you hungry out there? You know, there's a lot of technical things that go on in the body, and I won't get into the brain and the hypothalamus and how everything works there, but this time for today, I'll just say that when you're hungry, the brain sends a signal. In other words, a message or a signal to the body that your body is hungry. That's why your body reacts to that signal or message that it gets from the brain. So how many of us have ever received that signal or feel that signal? But it's multiple times a day, right? There's an old candy bar commercial out there. You're not you when you're hungry. And you guys know how it is being around somebody that's hungry. You can see it easily in a child. You can see it easily in a grown man. My wife even tells me I know when you're hungry. So I'm more conscious of being hungry, and I'll try to make sure I snack on a little something or eat a little something so I don't get a little grouchy. You know, we can get grouchy as a bear. But in some conditions, we know that people are poor and they don't have things to eat and they don't have the means to access food like some of us do. So we will definitely talk about that too at a later time. But today's message, I want to get into this a little bit here. There was a time in the life of Jesus when he encountered a hungry crowd. They had come to him seeking his power and his message. Mark tells us they were primarily Gentiles. Again, he went out from the region of Tyre and came through Sidon, to the Sea of Galilee within the region of Decapolis in Mark 7 and 31. Jesus had just left the Gentile era, Tyre, where there were very few Jews, and the few that were there were probably not living like Jews. He then goes to an area called Decapolis, or 10 cities, on the eastern edge of Galilee. These 10 towns had been established as a Gentile refuge in an area that was dominated by the Jews. So most of the people in this area would be familiar with the God of the Old Testament, but many, if not most, were not active followers of the God of Israel. Yet when Jesus had came into their area, they thronged to hear him. How would the Lord react to these non-believing, non-covenant Gentiles? And then Matthew tells us a story. Matthew says, departing from there, Jesus went along by the Sea of Galilee, and having gone up on the mountain, he was sitting there, and large crowds came to him, bringing with him those who were lame, crippled, blind, mute, and many others. And they laid them down at his feet, and he healed them. So the crowd marveled as they saw the mute speaking, the crippled restored, and the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And they glorified the God of Israel. And Jesus called his disciples to him. Jesus said, I feel compassion for the people, because they have remained with me 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I do not want to send them away hungry, for they might faint on the way. You ever have anyone that's been around you for 3 days without eating? So the story goes, the disciples said to him, where would we get so many loaves in this desolate place to satisfy such a large crowd? And Jesus said, how many loaves do you have? Jesus asked. And they said, seven, and a few small fish. And he directed the people to sit down on the ground. He took the seven loaves and the fish, and given thanks, he broke them and started giving them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. And they all ate and were satisfied, and they picked up what was left over of the broken pieces, which were seven large baskets full. You ever have any leftovers when your family comes over to eat? Don't answer that question. So as we go on with the story, and those who ate were 4,000 men, besides women and children. And sending away the crowds, Jesus got into the boat and came to the region of Magadan in Matthew 15:29-39. These people, probably mostly Gentiles, followed Jesus. Some had their own agendas, needed healing and help. The crowd actually stayed with the Lord for 3 days. Jesus sees their basic need for food, and he tells them that he feels compassion on the people in their need for food. The disciples basically make excuses, not even offering any food items, as they had the previous time Jesus had miraculously fed thousands of people in Matthew 14:13-21. So as we continue, it says, on that occasion, when the crowd was hungry, the disciples offered food. This time the Lord has to ask for whatever food they had. Then, once more, he feeds the crowd of 4,000 men, along with women and children. So we've seen Jesus eat with tax collectors. We've seen him eat with Pharisees. We've even seen him allow a sinful woman to wash his feet with her tears and dry them with her hair. Now we see the Lord feed Gentiles in a very miraculous way. We'll see how this dinner played out by looking at the people, the disciples, and then finally the Lord himself. You know, to be hungry, we have to first develop an appetite for salvation. There's an old saying that you should begin with the end in mind when you're thinking about things. So what is your goal? If your goal is salvation, then how are you going to get there? A lot of us snack between our meals. So here's a suggestion when we're snacking. Snack on the Lord's Word during the week, and on Sunday morning, come to the Lord's Supper. You see, we know exactly where we should be. And the Bible says not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And the simple question is why? And I've got an answer. Name me one man or woman that has been successful on their own. And I paused for a reason. So, snack on the Lord's Word and don't let the devil steal your snack. So as we continue with a few more stories here, a hungry crowd. Jesus offers physical resources. Let's talk about some of those. The people could see that Jesus was a genuine healer. They brought their ill loved ones, and the Greek word says this, hurled them at Jesus. They hurled them at Jesus. We get the impression of impertinent people barging in on Jesus and the disciples and leaving them very little choice but to help. Jesus says he always seemed to know what to do. He took the time and healed them. For 3 days he helped these people. In And later, when the people were hungry and without resources, Jesus was the one who started the process to feed them. He uses the limited resources at hand to extend enough food to feed thousands of people. For the residents of Decapolis, Jesus had physical resources that he could and would share. Now, earlier I asked you, have you ever been around a hungry person? Can you imagine being around 3,000 to 4,000 hungry people for 1 second? Can you imagine that? What would that feel like? So, as we get back to the lesson, this is still a task for Christians today. As Paul said, they only asked us to remember the poor. The very thing also was eager to do in Galatians 2 and verse 10. As important as it is to teach people the good news, we have to remember that hurting people, hungry people, disadvantaged people may not be willing to hear until we've met some of their physical needs. Now, I know that we're not in the business of feeding the world. Even churches have their limitations. But even Jesus didn't do that. He didn't feed the world as far as the physical body. He fed our spiritual body, of course. So we are in the business of helping people, especially those who are without resources. And if we look around, they're not far away from each and every one of us. And as far as we can tell, the Lord didn't have some litmus test to see if people qualified for his help. Sometimes we, as Christians, we only want to help people that seem to either follow our spiritual pattern, our political pattern, or maybe they go to the same school, or maybe all these things we throw in the way. But we need to look for people that need help. That's how you lead people to Jesus. So when the Gentiles barged in and asked for help, Jesus spent days helping. Jesus responded to the needs of the people, not to whether they deserved help or not. So we've got to be careful about how we look at people, how we judge people, how we think about people. And the brain works so fast, we do it within a split second and don't even realize it. So I would ask all of us, just watch our self-talk. Watch what we say about people when we see them. Always bring it back to the Lord's word, because we haven't walked a mile in that person's shoes. We haven't walked an inch in that person's shoes. We don't know what they've gone through or what they're going through. But we always have to be in the spirit and the mind of helping. Danielle, I'd like to open it up at that point to see if we have any prayer requests on the call today.
Unfortunately, time does not permit. If you would please close us out with a word of prayer.
Absolutely. Father, thank you for this Friday. Thank you for letting us be hungry. Hunger leads to a thirst for action. I pray that we have a hunger for the knowledge of your word. I pray that we have a thirst for this knowledge and this grace that you give us. I pray that we yearn for this knowledge and we long for it and we seek it out. Lord, let us snack on the Bible each and every day until it's time to have a supper with you on Sundays. We know the importance of this. We know the symbolism. We know the significance of this. In everything we do, Lord, let us give you the honor and the glory. You've been watching over us. You help heal the sick. You answer our prayers when we ask them. You even answer prayers before we even think about what to ask. Oh, Lord, thank you so much for this Friday. Thank you for all of our families represented on the call and our friends. We pray for their health and strength. We pray that something is encouraging to them. We pray that they stay hungry in their knowledge and their thirst for salvation. And we pray that we're able to give it to them. Thank you so much for all the ministers on this call, that we're able to prepare and develop things that can help all of us be better Christians. In Jesus' name we pray today. Amen.